Hey team, you're about to experience my interview with Luke Yarnton. Luke is co-founder of The Rave. The Rave is a brand new to market referral management platform for Shopify, but it's a referral platform with a difference. It has a full digital wallet capability built in so that customers can receive their referrals in cash back directly to their bank account or whatever payment method, payout method they prefer. So, and there's a massive network effect built into this referral platform where you can then potentially spend your rewards across multiple networks of stores, etc. It was a really fascinating conversation with this amazing, enterprising Kiwi lad from New Zealand. I had a fantastic conversation with Luke, and what he and his business partner are trying to do is truly amazing. I hope you enjoy this interview. This is the E-Commerce Edge podcast with your host, Jason Greenwood. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the podcast. It is my absolute pleasure to welcome Luke Yarnton to the pod. Welcome, Luke.
Very excited to be here. Thank you, Jason.
I'm super excited to have you here. This is two times in under a month when I've had Kiwi lads absolutely killing it on the world stage on my podcast. I feel pretty blessed, man. I had none for like almost 2 years or just over 2 years. And now I've had two in 2 months or in under a month, actually. So awesome to have someone from a place that I spent nearly 30 years of my life and where my wife hails from.
Yeah, good to have the Kiwi e-com takeover. There's a lot of exciting businesses doing cool things with e-com in New Zealand and New Zealanders overseas doing similarly cool things. So happy to be able to talk to you and share some of the stories.
Absolutely. And before we get into what you're doing now, let's talk a little bit about your background. I know that you were heavily involved in the nascent buy now, pay later space, and you helped to expand and grow that market globally for a couple of big buy now, pay later players. And that's what I guess it initially drew you out of New Zealand in the first place was, hey, I'm on this global conquest tour of buy now, pay later. And obviously that also at the same time got you onto the e-com bus. And then that got you inserted into the global e-commerce ecosystem. And really, that's how you got this thing, whole thing kicked off, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So it even starts before that. My family have been in clothing retail for, my grandfather started a clothing retail business when he finished it in World War II, came home and opened what was called at the time a haberdashery in Auckland's Birkenhead. So I grew up behind the counter of retail stores, my father's retail stores around Auckland. And then the opportunity arose I was encouraged to join this early stage startup in financial technology called PartPay that was helping small e-commerce stores around New Zealand and improve their conversion rates and offer sort of consumer finance to these customers in a far more respectable and authentic way than the existing credit card companies and short-term loan companies were at the time. So jumped on that. The business ended up being a great success. Had a lot of fun working there under some very intelligent, very clever people who are very inspirational. So I was the first operations hire. The time came to grow outside of New Zealand, and they looked around the office to see who was most suitable to help lead the setup of the office in London. Everyone else had a wife and kids and a house. And the most expensive thing I owned was a surfboard. So I was suggested that maybe I go over and spend 6 months setting up the London office with the locally hired CEO we had over there. So that came and went, got there. We got acquired by a bigger Australian-based financial technology company called Zip, who are publicly traded on the ASX and doing very well at the time. So with that acquisition, I led up the operations there for a few months. And eventually they also acquired a US-based business, QuadPay, and encouraged me to go over and join the New York-based team there and help lead the global growth operations, opening office in Mexico, in Toronto, and in Singapore, which was like, that was so much fun. That's the most fun I've ever had working in business, small team, moving really quickly, get to meet a bunch of really cool people from all over the world and setting up a business that was super exciting at the time. Obviously, there was a pretty frothy bubble around buy now, pay later. So it was a fun wave to ride. Eventually, things started to slow down. Confidence in the sort of buy now, pay later and technology market slowed. And my now co-founder and I, who were on the same team, were offered a redundancy payout or to stay on and shift roles. And both of us thought this was a really great opportunity for us to go after something new and take after the people who I had been working with in New Zealand who set up their own business and got to enjoy that creative entrepreneurial route. And we thought, why don't we have a crack at that? Now's the time. You don't get this opportunity very often. Let's go after it.
And you seem like you're still young enough that, hey, if it doesn't work out, you can always go work for another fintech or a bank or something like that. So the reality is, hey, look, it's, I don't want to say it's risk-free, but certainly if you're going to take a punt on a big dream, then this is probably a pretty bloody good time to do it.
Yeah, exactly. And like from a personal perspective, I was lucky in that I had a little bit of cash behind me that I was in a position where I could self-fund myself for a little bit of time. And so my key sort of decision around, look, I've been offered redundancy, I can take this cash. How do I learn as much as possible over the next 3 to 5 years? And there were a couple of interesting businesses that were in sectors that had like sort of chief of staff roles or operations roles that would have also meant I'd get to learn a lot. But I figured for myself, both the combination of the enjoyment and the learning opportunity, getting something like this started on my own would really deepen my knowledge across a range of areas that up until now had like absolutely no experience in.
Wow. So,
throw myself in a deep end.
Love it. I love the keenness. That's definitely a Kiwi trait. Head down, bum up, get to work. Love it. And that catches us up really to where you are today, which is you're the co-founder with your business that you just mentioned before of The Rave. And this, as I understand it, I've never, just in full transparency, I've never used The Rave platform before, never worked with it before. But as I understand it, it's really almost like a referral platform for e-commerce. I guess if I had to boil it down to the most simple core components of what it does or what it says it does and how it works. And this is really an app that would plug into your Shopify's, your BigCommerce's, et cetera. And the whole goal behind this is to turn your most loyal and active customers into strong influencer / referral partners for your brand. Do I understand it correctly?
Yeah, exactly. So the sort of the view down on what we're doing at the moment is where we've come from is my co-founder, Joe, used to work at Uber, and he was part of their growth activation teams where he would go into a market like Miami and help them launch Uber Eats there. And a big part of that was referral-based marketing. So he was constantly tuning and improving these referral-based campaigns, and they did phenomenally well and we got having a conversation about that one day saying, obviously referrals are a really big sort of mechanism businesses can use to grow. But then we also decided in that discussion, I'm not actually referring any businesses that I love. Like, why am I not referring the businesses that I know and I love? I'll mention it in a conversation occasionally, but compared to the level of activation that they saw within their Uber Eats customers, we're not seeing that type of, we're not participating ourselves. And I'm not seeing that amongst my group of peers that I'm spending most of my time with. So we tried to deconstruct that and say, why is it relevant here? And why is it not relevant here? And one of those key elements was obviously the rewards that are attached to the referrals. That was there are a couple of key elements we looked at. Like, one of them is the rewards in the current experience suck. The second one is the user experience is not particularly exciting and doesn't foster the type of behavior that we want. And then the third reason is just not fun. Like, they spend a lot of time making the Uber Eats referral program fun, and we 90% of the platforms out there at the moment aren't fun. And as a result, when we started doing some research, we found that the participation rates in most of these e-commerce business referral platforms is 2-3%. So of all their customers, and a lot of them are repeat customers that will buy month in, month out, only 2-3% of those will actually go out and refer a friend using their refer a friend platform. So the first thing we looked at is what is the reward for a referral? And then we looked at who are the people who are really effective referrers, and it's your affiliates and your influencers, and they do it because they get cash. So we said, look, we come from a financial technology background. What if we can just make it so everybody gets cash? Obviously, one of the issues now is that if you want to distribute cash to thousands of people, there's a bunch of back-end issues and regulatory
legal loopholes, taxation, blah, blah, blah.
We said, look, this isn't actually that hard a problem to solve in 2023. Why don't we just democratize cash rewards, the same type of rewards that affiliates and influencers get for every single customer, and that makes it significantly more appealing, because existing referral tools were almost exclusively discount off your next purchase or dollars back at the brand, which for some brands it did work well. But for this increasing volume of single SKU D2C products where they only sell one thing, I don't have any interest in buying a second one of these things that they sell. So cash is much more meaningful. And then the other key element there is that when it's dollars back at the brand or a percentage discount off your next purchase, it's very limiting to the amount of referral I would want to do for that brand. If I'm a micro-influencer and I want to refer my small following, I don't really have a lot of interest in getting $3,000 to spend back at this makeup and cosmetics brand, sure. like in my entire lifetime. I'm not going to. So cash is king. I want these micro influencers want cash to pay their electricity bills and buy a bottle of wine on a Friday night. They don't necessarily want cash back at the brand. And then the second piece was user experience. Obviously, buy now, pay later was a really good teaching tool for me in user experience. And one of the key elements that made it really successful were these little product page widgets that would pop up below the price that would let you know you can pay $100 today or split the cost into four interest-free payments of 25%. And me being in the operations team and managing these integrations, it was like abundantly clear that those who spent the 5 minutes to integrate those product page widgets would see dramatically different results to those who didn't. Mm-hmm. So we've taken this referral idea with cash rewards and presented it through the entire journey. So people are saying, okay, I know that I can participate in a referral experience. If I'm a small influencer, or if I know my friends are definitely going to buy this, I can effectively discount the price of this product in my head because I know I'm going to get $30 or $40 worth of referral rewards on the other end of it. And that has taken us, because our key integration point for a sign up to be an affiliate or a referrer is on that order confirmation or order status page. So when you give them a little nudge throughout the process, they're ready, they're aware, like, where is this copy link button going to be? And at the moment, we're getting on average somewhere between 8% and 12% of people participating purely based on that order confirmation page sign up, where like traditional referral platforms, legacy ones, getting 2 to 3%. So super hyped on that. And the final piece is like actually making it fun and making it enjoyable. Like people are winning rewards, people are getting cash. These existing affiliate platforms specifically, ShareASale, like A1, the email you get when you've successfully had a referral looks a lot like an email you'd get as like a blood test results email, being like, this is very sort of basic. And
it's a table of information and that's about it.
Exactly. So we're like, people care about this. Like they're using social media. You're referring your friends, your family, your followers. Like, let's have some fun with it. Let's insert a little bit of personality and make it a little bit of a party. And that's the other thing we've done. And that's part of not only getting people referring once or engaging with the platform and getting them incentivized, but building a repeatable behavior where they're like, you know what, this is cool. I'm going to keep doing it. I can make a little bit of money every month by talking about my favorite supplement brand, the dog that I like, the dog food I like to feed my dog. It allows them to feel like a little bit more inspired to talk about the brands they love and the brands they care about.
Yeah, look, you answered a couple of what would have been my natural follow-up questions. You nailed it in your little talk there. And I love that. And one of my first questions was going to be, there's probably at least 30 apps around referrals and memberships, et cetera, on the, say, for example, the Shopify app store. So what's the primary differentiator here for you guys versus them? And you answered that, which is that none of them, to my knowledge, I don't think you have a single competitor in the marketplace that gives literal cash back directly to the referrer. So I think that's the first piece. Also the gamification piece of this and that sole focus on the gamification piece, I think that's pretty darn unique, because if this is just part of, for example, referrals and rewards, or if it's part of Smile, or if it's part of Rise AI, or if it's part of any of these other multifaceted platforms around incentivizing loyalty behavior, and referrals are just one of those activities that you're incentivizing, it can get lost in the mix, I think, a little bit. And the reality is that oftentimes those platforms are more focused on spend, earn, spend model, that model. That's like their primary model. Hey, we're trying to incentivize you to put this on your social. We're trying to incentivize you to buy more frequently or to spend more money or to move up the tiers. And, oh, hey, you get to this level and you're going to get free shipping. But that all makes the assumption that all customers want to be incentivized to repurchase with the brand. And as you pointed out, either they may not want to, or they may not be able to buy as frequently as the brand would like to achieve and unlock different things. But secondarily, there just may not be the reason to read through that brand, especially if they've got a small catalogs, single product brands, those sorts of things. It doesn't make sense to try to incentivize rebuying. And so I think you've hit a niche, a very unique niche, where this isn't really being met by any of the other major platforms out there. And if we think about the mechanics of this, I assume, and I'd love your thoughts on this, I would assume that your platform effectively acts as a digital wallet for the referrers. And then at any point in time, when you want to get up to a certain amount of savings in that wallet, hey, we're going to dispense that out to PayPal, or we're going to send that directly to your bank account, or whatever. You're creating the really effectively the hardest part of what you're doing and what you have done is the digital wallet experience and the disbursement experience. Like, that's the hard part, creating all of the interconnections with all of the bank, basically getting the banking rails set up, which obviously you have a lot of experience from your BNPL background. It's getting that piece set up that's the hard part. It's not, it's the creating the UI. Sure, there's a little bit of work in that, but as long as you got a vision about how you want that to work, expert designers and developers can get that set up very quickly. It's the plumbing that makes it different from my perspective.
Yeah, exactly. And that's obviously something that's been available for these enterprises that have a bunch of affiliates on board at the moment, is that they have these big complex platforms that are set up that can do the, they typically only do PayPal disbursements or have a very limited sort of way to disperse that. But on the other side of that, they've also got like a 15, 16 step sign up process to be an affiliate. It's quite intimidating and it's quite stressful. So we've taken our approach the same way that BNPL took that approach to simplify applying for like instant credit and making it really easy, and just being like, what is the end goal? What do people actually want? And they're like, I want money in my Venmo account. And customers, I want money in my Venmo account and I want it there really quick and I don't want to have to mess around. So like, we're lucky to find some partners and some technologies that allow us to do that really easily. And we've taken this platform approach where we can set up a digital wallet. If I'm a person who has three brands who are integrated with our platform, all the rewards flow into the same wallet. I can withdraw them as and when I see fit.
Wow. And the cool thing about this is it could work across a house of brands, not just smaller brands, but I'm thinking of something like VF Corp, who has a house of 15 brands and very big brands, the Supremes, the whatever. And they not only sell through retailers, but they obviously have their own direct to consumer channels as well. And particularly for these large houses of brands that do D2C sales, this feels like a very simple way to unify the incentivization to shop across the entire portfolio.
Exactly. Yeah. So there's a bunch of opportunities here where you can link up the different rewards programs across different brands, and even just brands within the same sector can benefit from having activity from people that they see. Like, we can identify that this customer is a golden goose customer. So if I have if I'm the type of person who has 7 or 8 brands, I've identified one of my customers is really effective at referring their friends, family, and followers. That person's constantly getting 100, 200 people clicking on their referral links and maybe has a conversion rate of 8, 9, 10%. I can work directly with that customer. And we talked earlier about that gamification element, is I can work with that customer. I know what their average behavior is. Our platform allows for you to set, for example, after 5 referrals, you get a cash bonus unlock. Or after 20 referrals, I was getting 5% commission. That 5% commission now turns into 7.5% commission. So you can really have some fun, work with these individual creators or influencers and say, this is like the upside for you if you're willing to keep posting with us and keep working with us. Like, one of the brands we have at the moment, Stacked, they were a Shark Tank brand. They do a foldable yoga mat. They're doing exactly this. They've got these two influencers who do they're sort of fitness influencers. All of their content, they have the yoga mat present. And they've just found a really effective way that every month they'll do a post whenever they've got some space in their content catalog on their Instagram stories. And Stacked has realized this. And now they're working together to set some goals and objectives. This is like the upside for you if you're willing to do it. And it's working phenomenally well for them.
And I suppose also it allows the brand and the influencer to be effectively giving you data as part of this. Really, I see the long-term benefit of working with your platform as a data play more than it is almost anything else, in the sense that once you have enough brands in your portfolio and you can understand a broader section of spend behavior and categories purchased in, amount of referrals created, frequency of engaging with the home brand, it feels like that then would allow you to anonymize the data, but then tag these users with specific tags, performance tags, category tags, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, that automatically, for anybody that deploys your solution, though, when those customers come through, you could set rules inside your installation of the app that says, okay, for everybody that's tagged with this, give them this. For everybody that's tagged with this, give them that. It feels like you could then create a personalization layer based on your data. But then your data is anonymized, but it's usable by the individual brand to create a referral experience that's much more tailored to them so that you don't have to make it generic and say, well, here's our generic tiers, here's our generic everything. You can actually personalize the referral program down to the individual level if you wanted to. Hey team, I have a big favor to ask you. Please pause this episode and send the link of this episode to someone you know that you think would enjoy this content. Really appreciate you spreading the word. This is how we grow. We're not a Joe Rogan. We don't have big, massive advertising budgets, but we absolutely want to grow. We want to get the learnings from all of these episodes out to as wide of an audience as possible, and we need your help to do it. Thank you, and now back to your listening.
Exactly, Jason. There's so many exciting opportunities to play around with the data that we're getting as we go into the future. We're learning about these customer behaviors. And you can, even when you zoom out, you can understand how these different customers are interconnected and how many links away is one shopper shopping at one store from another shopper who's been referred by the same person as somebody else. And you can start building these really interesting webs to understand who exists where and who these influential customers are and the strength of those influences and so on and so forth. Even just over the last couple of months, so we've only been live for 6 months, it's still relatively new. So we're a long way away from getting into some of these deeper data plays that we're discussing here. But even being able to look at some of the brands that we're working with, have said, we work with this influencer, they have 500,000 followers. We're going to set them up on your platform and give them this campaign. And being able to see the effectiveness of that big influencer with a big following and comparing that to someone who's, we know they're the moderator of a small Facebook group of mums who live in North Carolina. She has 3,000 people in her tight-knit Facebook group and understanding like, what are the key differences here? What are the performance things we care about? Is it driving traffic to the website? Is it actual transactions? And understanding, helping merchants understand, these are the types of people you want to be focusing on if you are trying to foster some referral or influencer behavior. These are the ones who actually generate conversions and generate the type of behavior you want versus who is just good for a branding activity, for example, but you're not going to see any performance elements off the other side of it. And for that specific example, like time and time again, these Facebook group admins are being slept on. They are absolute powerhouses in terms of being able to refer.
I mean, they can just drop a link in there and boom, half the people will go, yeah, I need that.
Exactly. Like the engagement is so tight. People have high degrees of trust within these groups. Whereas what we're seeing is that these top-end influencers who have sort of 500, 600,000 followers will continually disappoint time and time again. I think influencer trust at the moment is down 10%. So I suppose on the scale, a referral from a friend has a trust scale of 10%. So the further you go down, and that influencer trust is diminishing. But what we're seeing now is this big growth in the middle there of these micro-influencers or nano-influencers who exist as admins of Facebook groups or have a small following of 8,000 people who love to watch their coffee content. Those are the people who are the new sort of powerhouses that carry the brands forward.
And I guess from a data play perspective, there's even more. Let's say you're 5 years old now. Let's project 5 years from now. It feels like you can create an influencer marketplace. If those people want to participate in your influencer marketplace, it means that the brands could actually do a marketing through you back to these cohorts of influencers with these specific attributes. They could pay you for the opportunity for you to do advertising on their behalf back to your influencer marketplace and network. There's the opportunities here, once you get enough data in the system and you get enough people in the system, both merchants and influencers, it feels, and this would be of a benefit, not just to the brand, but it would be in a benefit to the influencers too, because they don't necessarily think of themselves as influencers and they don't necessarily make their contact information known. They don't necessarily, they're not going out there. If I'm a mumpreneur and I've got a mumpreneurs group, for example, I don't necessarily view myself as an influencer. I maybe view myself as a community manager or something like that, where I'm driving maybe some tangential business out of my group directly, but I don't consider myself an influencer. And so therefore I wouldn't be joining an influencer marketplace normally, for example. I wouldn't put my services out there as an influencer. So this taps into that market in ways that the traditional influencer marketplace space would never do.
Yeah, and I think you're speaking to a very interesting point there, and that our understanding of what is an influencer is going to change dramatically over the next 2 to 3 years. I think a natural extension is definitely going to be an influencer marketplace type approach, or at least a close relationship with someone who already has that infrastructure in place and allowing people to see what successful content looks like, what products are moving, what brands are are yielding really good results for me as an influencer, and also helping brands understand that this customer has time and time again had success in the health and fitness space. They're doing really well. This could be a good person to reach out to, maybe facilitate some gifting and offer some inspiration around the type of UGC that they could be producing that'll help drive successful referral, evidence-based data that we can see time and time again from people who are already engaging with the platform.
And I guess it also facilitates an opportunity because you know who these customers are now. Like, you've got their contact details, you've got their email, they bought off you, they spent money with you, their address, all these things about them just by the very nature of having done a transaction with them. Then at that point, it allows you to maybe formalize your relationship a little bit beyond just this platform, in the sense that you could say, hey, you've done such a great job for us. We really appreciate you. We want to reward you. We want to encourage you to do more of this. So cool. Every seasonal drop, every major drop we do, we're going to just send to you for free from now. And we're going to let you try it. We're going to let you use it. And obviously, the more you recommend, the more cash you're going to get for it. So it means that for those top referrers, you can establish a much more formalized relationship with them where they don't even need to buy from you anymore for them to benefit from recommending you. And I feel like that's probably the piece that brands aren't necessarily thinking about. Now, I realize that maybe cuts you out of one side of the transaction if they're not actually purchasing through the brand, but you still win when that person makes a recommendation, and off that recommendation, they follow the link, they make the purchase through the brand, and therefore you're seeing the transactions that the influencer is driving. So it would be the same as if they bought one thing one time, and then for a year or 2 years, they're making a recommendation off the backside of that. So they're not transacting every single time they're making a recommendation, but it's still being tracked through your system, and the transaction is still being attributed to that influencer or that influencer, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, look, I think that's exactly what we're trying to do. And that obviously, there's a lot of different elements and a lot of different playbooks you can run using sort of social commerce and customer-led growth activities. And like, our goal is, in the future, when a merchant's launching a new product or there's a seasonal drop coming, obviously they already have ideas around how they're going to be using Facebook ads, how they're going to be tailoring their TikTok ads, how they're going to be managing their Google spend over that period. And over the past 8 years, these traditional platforms have been less effective, less efficient, costs are going up. And we want this customer-led activation to be considered as another channel to driving people to the site and driving the type of behavior that they want. So obviously, a bunch of different playbooks you can use around gifting, around activating, around incentivizing people to create content. And I think we want to be the platform that allows everything user-led growth and to be used alongside Facebook and Google spend as an organic channel that a merchant can really pour some time and effort into that will see meaningful results.
And how do you see your opportunity to break into a market that's, let's just be fair, dominated by three or four major players where referrals are a component of their platform? It's not the whole platform, but it's a component of the platform. So it feels to me like some of your best routes to market, and you probably already have thought of all of these things, but it feels like if you had an out-of-the-box integration with Yotpo, or if you had an out-of-the-box integration with Swell, with Rise, with all these other major platforms that are already managed loyalty in some way, it feels like you would almost need to have some level of knowledge about what they're doing in those platforms, and they would need to have some level of knowledge about what you're doing in your platform to make it to where there's not double rewards. And there's just some certain use cases where this could get really messy if somebody wants to use your platform and Yotpo side by side, because you're not owning the entire UGC experience. For example, you're not in controlling the entire loyalty experience with free shipping and all those other things that maybe come into play at certain tiers of benefits. So it feels like integration, not only to the e-commerce platforms that you're talking about, like the Shopify's of the world, but also playing nice with the rest of the ecosystem, which already has a stronghold in these areas. It feels like that's going to be a pretty important piece for you.
Yeah, I think that is important. Obviously, a lot of the platforms will have a referral tool available, but it's time again, we're seeing it's a referral tool that hasn't been particularly well thought out, or it's a box ticking exercise where on the list of things I have to do when I'm setting up my Shopify site is I have to have a referral tool available. I've checked the box. I don't have to think about it. So a key part of what we're going through at the moment is an educational element that, look, referral can be a very meaningful channel for you. And I think we're lucky at the moment, given what's going on with the price of ads and a lot of the other cost pressures that merchants are facing at the moment, a lot of people are very willing and open to testing something new. And we're lucky that this type of technology shows pretty instant results. Educating them is key. Obviously, working alongside these other platforms can be a little bit of a dance sometimes. But I'll be honest, I haven't come across many merchants who have a very tight, close relationship with their existing referral platform. So there is a high willingness to give something new a try, provided there's evidence to support that it's worth their time to make the change and invest in learning some new technology.
And I guess the reality is that even if they're using these other platforms to incent other behaviors other than referrals, they could always just disable the referral element in those platforms. They can continue using those platforms. Hey, you buy five times in a month, or you spend this much in a year, or there's all sorts of other incentivization that can be done. And for lack of a better term, a generic loyalty program, there's lots of incentives that can be built into a loyalty program that have nothing to do with referrals. And so even if they're using the Yotpos of the world or any of these other platforms, they could just disable the referral element, still use it for all the other incentivization that they're doing, but simply use you for the referral component and never the twain shall meet, so to speak.
Yeah, and this is the nature of e-commerce, specifically operating in the Shopify App Store in 2023, is that there are so many apps out there at the moment. If you operate in a way where you can't play with the other apps, if you're going to clash with them, or if there's like counteracting elements, you'll be wildly unsuccessful. Especially if you're a new app and you're saying you have to get rid of these other things that work for you and you've had experience with and you can't work with me without, you're going to run into a lot of friction the entire time. So I think that's the key element here, is that you need to be somewhat modular and be able to plug and play in different areas. And I'll be honest, some merchants that we're working with at the moment will use us as their referral tool, but all of their affiliates will still be running through their traditional platform because they're nervous that if they shift their affiliates off, that it might cause some friction. And in other cases, we are exclusively being used for influencers and affiliates, but they're not fully integrated with the referral solution because that's not their priority at the moment, and they've got limited bandwidth within their 7-person team. So you can use elements partially, fully. It's really as merchants see fit. And it's important for us to understand that, I think, particularly a lot of these merchants are time poor, so they don't want to think through a lot of the ramifications. And we can offer these instant, switch it on, don't overthink it, let's get started. And also to be able to play alongside not only apps that operate in a similar space, but to be able to integrate into these apps that really simplify merchants' lives, like Klaviyo, like Attentive, where
the messaging.
Yeah. Without integrations and without being to play with those apps, although some of them do have elements that might compete with what we're doing in terms of onboarding a customer, it's critical for us to be able to integrate with those to really simplify the merchant's life, as well as being able to utilize the technology that already exists to maximize the impact of what we're building.
And I think it's not just simplifying the merchant's life, but they want to have centralized analytics over things like email performance, click-through rates, all those things. They want to be able to have centralized performance metrics for some, at least from the communication standpoint. And so by integrating with either their CDP or their marketing automation platform, or however it is that they're managing the zero and first party data that then drops out into and maybe an email series, they want to be able to have centralized view through on performance of those channels, because they consider oftentimes email, SMS, et cetera, they consider those channels of their own. And so if your transactionals can effectively fold into their transactionals that are flowing through that centralized marketing automation platform, then it means that they can at least have one single view of performance of those communication channels.
And I think this is one of the benefits of working with a platform like Shopify that does a really good job of ensuring that these key data points are connected throughout a journey and have these nice open APIs that apps can simultaneously pull into it and get a view on. Obviously, Shopify can be complicated. Sometimes we love them, sometimes we hate them, but they have built this very nice walled garden that we can play inside. And it's very easy to use the data that's happening throughout the customer journey and be able to send data into that flow as well that can be picked up by other applications throughout the flow.
Love it. Wow. What an amazing story and amazing journey so far. How do you guys make your money? How do you guys charge? It's a SaaS platform. It's obviously an app-based platform that plugs into other e-commerce platforms. First of all, do you integrate with any other e-commerce platforms today other than Shopify? And then second of all, what's your charging model? What's your cost model?
Yeah. So for now, while we're still validating the platform, we're Shopify exclusively. We've started inspecting some of the other platforms that we've had a lot of experience with in the Buy Now, Pay Later days, as well as obviously exploring that bespoke route. We're building a small queue of merchants outside of traditional e-commerce platforms who have expressed interest in using our technology. But I think that's probably on the back burner for now, while we're still, obviously, Shopify affords the ability to grow rapidly throughout a merchant base, take 20 minutes to download and install and configure. So we need to hit scale quickly and understand the needs of our businesses in different sectors, what works, what doesn't work. And it allows us to listen to the merchants to optimize. And from a charging perspective, we like the approach that Buy Now, Pay Later took compared to traditional finance tools, and that it was exclusively performance-based. We don't charge any monthly fees, and we just simply charge a small percentage commission on new transactions we generate from our referral platform. So at the moment, that's just 1%, and we've tried to make it as simple and easy to understand as possible. And I think that's one of the key points of difference compared to other platforms that have these complex pricing structures where it'll be 3% plus a monthly fee, but you're limited to the number of successful referrals that can happen within that 1 month, and then you have to change or else the referral platform is going to be disabled. And it's just understanding the model alone takes the merchant probably 15 to 20 minutes to make sure they're not going to shoot themselves in the foot by introducing it. We're very much of the opinion that when our merchants win, we win too. And we don't want to be taking up space and charging fees that we don't think we deserve. So that's really important for us. And for me, coming from a commerce background where my parents were running stores, it's very important that you're delivering actual value to these stores. Like, we love our stores. We're having a lot of fun doing this. We have a lot of intense conversations, and these merchants are constantly helping us plan out the next feature and plan out what we should be prioritizing, and sometimes give us some very harsh feedback on some of the tools we're thinking about. But it's all part of the process. So we like to be this commission on successful transactions only and small, but in a way that we can ensure the platform's stable. We're not going to go out of business anytime soon, and keeps the wheels going. And yeah, so that's where we're at on that front.
Amazing. So 1%, that's of the revenue you generate. That seems more than fair to me for merchants that even if it's not a customer's acquisition cost, even if it's just a transaction acquisition cost, reality is they're going to be spending a lot more, almost any other method of acquiring both customers and transactions and increased transactions through those customers. They're going to be spending a whole lot more almost anywhere else. That's the reality. So if you can help them with acquisition of orders and customers, then this feels like a very fair handshake trade along the way. Plus, I guess from my perspective, the value isn't necessarily in the 1%. It's probably more in what you can develop as services on the backside of having an ever-growing pool of data around user behavior and buyer behavior. That to me is the bigger gold mine on the back of this. So it almost feels, of course, you got to have enough money to keep the lights on and grow the infrastructure and all this, of course, and to continue to develop functionality. But as you develop that functionality, it just becomes a flywheel of gathering more data, right? So it feels like to me, that's the big play here.
Yeah, so there's a couple of elements. Obviously, data is a key piece of that. But as we're building out the platform, as we give people digital wallets that exist in a platform that's integrated into a range of merchants, it also affords us the ability to offer unique respend opportunities that other brands integrated throughout the network. And I can take my rewards. We've already spoken to brands who've said this is further down the track, but the idea that another integrated brand can encourage someone with a multiplier on the rewards they hold in their wallet for taking those rewards and spending them at a merchant who's also integrated within this Rave network.
Wow, amazing. Network effects are pretty powerful when you can harness them. That's for damn sure. Luke, I'm very impressed. You're a very exciting young lad in terms of what you are building and what you are doing in the world. You're young, you're on fire, you're keen, you're smart. Clearly, you know your shit. And I've got a huge amount of respect for that. I know you've got a business partner too, who obviously plays a big role in this. And it's not just you being the Lone Ranger here.
A whole team. We've got to shout out the rest of the team as well. So there's three co-founders now. We've got co-founder Sam, who's the CTO. He's the one who originally built the PartPay platform that then was taken around the world. We've got co-founder Joe, who's the ex-Uber, ex-Zip in New York, and myself, and a small team of engineers who are crushing it in New Zealand, helping us fuel this, this platform.
So you're doing your development in New Zealand?
All the developers are in New Zealand. They're all people that I've worked with in the past that know are absolute guns and have, I suppose for us, operating internationally, where I'm in Mexico at the moment, Joe's in New York, and the engineering team in New Zealand, I wouldn't even dream of having or even think about this type of setup if I didn't have absolute trust and absolute confidence that these engineers are absolute killers and can crush anything we throw their way. So that's the current setup.
Love it. Absolutely love it. And you're based in Mexico City, right?
Living next door city for now. I was living in New York, but obviously now I'm doing my own thing. I don't have the visa that my previous employment. So here for a while, but I've fallen in love with Mexico City. There's a bunch of people building really cool stuff down here at the moment. Obviously, for a founder, the cost of living is good. So I think that's what draws a few of the other people down here, what's drawn them down and why they've chosen to live here. And then obviously the food and the culture is something that from New Zealand is very different to what I grew up with. And a lot of excitement throughout the weeks and the weekends here.
Oh, love it. Love it. From mid-Jan, I'll be based in Puebla, and it's only 2 hours away from Mexico City. I think for me, Mexico City is a little bit too crazy, too big. You know, I come from Southern California originally, and one of the reasons I originally moved to New Zealand was to get out of that kind of mass city craziness. But I do love the cities, and more importantly, I love the access to the United States for conferences and for business meetings and for client liaison and all those types of things. Like just that easy hop across the border. Plane flights are usually, depending on where you're going, can be anywhere from $400 to less than $1,000 to go almost anywhere in the States from Mexico City. So the reality is that easy access to the American market is a pretty big draw. We'll be very close to each other, just 2 hours apart. And I will be going to Mexico City quite a lot for business anyway. So I'm sure that we will get a chance to catch up in person, my friend.
Next time you're in town, I can take you to one of my favorite cafes around here.
Absolutely. Love it. You live in Condesa, Roma, somewhere around there?
Yeah, I'm living in Roma.
Of course. I didn't even need to ask the question.
By that guess or not. But
No, it's all good, brother. Listen, been fantastic chatting with you. Now we're at the time where I get to flip the script. I get to hand the microphone over to you, get to let you ask me one question, any question you like, can be personal or professional. So Luke Yarnton from The Rave, what is your question for me today?
Yes, obviously you've had a lot of experience in e-com over a number of years. I'm interested to know, like, what trend or what technology is getting you most excited that you're seeing growing at the moment?
Look, I feel like a broken record on this, but I'm going to keep beating this drum until everybody agrees with me, I think. B2B e-commerce is just, it's a massive focus for me. It's where almost all of my consulting is going these days. I think that with the competitiveness of the B2C and D2C space is so high right now that the forecast growth rates for traditional retail e-commerce they're still up and to the right, but they're certainly nothing like they were during COVID, whereas the forecasts around B2B e-commerce growth are just insane over the next decade. And I'm seeing it myself. I'm seeing that through COVID, it put a rocket under thousands of B2B businesses who realized, geez, our sales reps can't go and see people. So we need to really be able to rapidly introduce e-commerce into our business. But B2B is so much more complex than B2C that it requires really deep specialization to be able to consult to these clients and to also be able to help them select platforms that can support their really complex and unique use cases. There's no such thing as vanilla B2B e-commerce. It doesn't exist. In the B2C, D2C world, there's some really standard, I would say, design patterns. If you're a startup, for example, in the B2C world, you're going to go Shopify, you're going to go Klaviyo, you're going to go The Rave. There's a certain kind of almost stack of maybe 10 to 25 apps that you're going to set up alongside your Shopify store, and then you're going to go selling. You're going to install a theme, a $200 theme. You're going to maybe make some light tweaks to it, and then you're going to go and try to drive traffic and business through the website. Whereas I think in the B2B space, the sales cycles tend to be longer, much more complex. The configuration of products tends to be much more complex. The cart sizes and values tend to be many multiples of the B2C world. Replenishment reordering online is really low-hanging fruit for B2B. Without going into too much detail or any more detail, I think B2B e-commerce is just, it's so young and it is so far behind B2C. They're probably a decade behind in general B2C. And that's why I think that the opportunity over the next decade, the growth is going to be there for B2B unlike any other sector.
No, I haven't spent much time thinking about the B2B side of e-commerce at the moment. Obviously, I'm very focused in on what's happening with the sort of the direct-to-customer and the traditional B2C type transactions. But I was talking to a friend the other day, and he's working for a restaurant supply company in New York, and he was talking through some of the complexities as they try and take their like 20,000 SKUs online with multiple different price points for different vendors, and depending on which agent they have, there's a different fulfillment process. There's so many different variables there that I think there's a lot of opportunity for people to come in and have these really unique experiences and technologies to support this high SKU, high variability type e-commerce experience for these business-to-business type transactions.
No doubt. No doubt, my friend. Now, how do you like people to get a hold of you? LinkedIn? I don't think The Rave has its own website, as far as I could tell. I think it's all done through LinkedIn at the moment. But, and obviously, you've got your app on the App Store. But how do you like people to get a hold of you if they want to have a chat to you about e-commerce in general?
You can find us at therave.co. You can reach out to me directly at luke@therave.co or find me, Luke Yanton, on LinkedIn. Any of those are great ways to get in touch.
Oh, amazing, mate. I'll put all of those links in the show notes so that people can just click through and get a hold of you straight away. Luke Yarnton, I really appreciate your time and I can't wait to catch up with you in Mexico City, my friend.
I'm looking forward to it.
Are you a B2B or D2C e-commerce merchant? Then head over to greenwoodconsulting.net to learn how we can help you scale your business.